Welcome. We're so glad you came, that you feel comfortable to be here. And there's enough space in here. We can make things happen if somebody wasn't super comfortable with it. And wearing masks is all good. But honestly, I want to thank all the staff for the last 14, 15, I don't even know how many months. Right? I don't know if you know how much work it takes to go online only. There's a lot of recording, there's a lot of bloopers, there's a lot of bloopers you will never see. I promise you that. That's right, they are deleted forever. But there are times when we've been recording and the camera was on when we touched it and then later it was not, so we did a whole sermon and then I had to do it again, so it was better the second time, I always thought. There was so many times, and I had to grovel at Pastor Paul's feet one day. I thought I cleared the USB, the recording thing. No, I didn't. And I was in there in my office while he was preaching. He was in here recording his message for a life group and for Legacy Builders. And I went in my office, and I was like, no, I cleared those. I cleared them. And this was an hour into his lesson, so because he's teaching, and he's already, and then I look through the window, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. He's gonna do something to me. So I had to apologize later, because I thought, no, it's got to be there. It's got to be there. So I grabbed everything, and then I tried to get it going, and I didn't have it all. And so I apologize. He came back. He did it. No problem. He was very gracious. So there's been lots of things going on. We've had malfunctions in the USB. We've had the data go missing. We recorded it, and then there was no audio. There's so many things that have happened. And we just, you know, you're sitting up at 11 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden you're wide awake going, oh, no, something's wrong. And then you try to figure out what it is. And then loading things takes hours and sometimes 20 minutes. I don't know why. Who knows? Sometimes you lose it just randomly in the cloud. Do you know where the cloud is? I don't know where the cloud is, so I can't find it. Lots of stuff was going on. We were doing some minor rentals with some trim in the foyer. The place was a disaster. We've been painting. We're doing all this stuff. And then they said, you can open up now. And we're like, no. Yes, but no, we're not ready. The chapel, the Coffee Connections room wasn't ready in time. I've got saws in there and pieces of wood and just all sorts of paint. We got everything in there. Any tool we could find, we just threw in there. So next week, we will have coffee for you in there. I hope you all, you know, fueled up before you got here. Yeah, it's all about the free coffee and donuts here. But yeah, so we're getting there. We're getting there. Lots of stuff. And then on top of all that, you have to edit the sermons, right? So you have to go in and you have to put the words on there and you have to edit it. And I always edit it if I made mistakes. So I made sure that they just did a little transition and get that out of there. Things like that. So just, and Christian did a lot of that. Jonathan did a lot of the sound. So on the sound on Sundays, he was editing that and that took hours. Christian took out, I mean, everybody involved was just taking hours. I tried to take the load off of him by doing my own sermons and editing those. And so there's just so much happening. It was, and could be hopefully not again, very difficult to adjust quickly and do it, but everyone did, we did well, we made it through, and here we are. Now, that's not to say that things can change, okay? So let's recognize there are other variants, blah, 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 vaccines, yada, yada, you know the drill. They're all a thing, everything's part of it. Yeah, I don't know what to say, it's just been wild, right? So, and I know Jeff works for the province, and he's in emergency services, and that's just exploding right now. Literally, things are exploding, and he's super busy there too. So, I mean, it's just been wild. So, we got to bring some calm to the people we interact with. We got to bring some peace. We got to bring a calm spirit, a realistic expectations. That's my favorite word right now, realistic expectations. This has nothing to do with my message right now, but I'm just excited about this word. When we're dealing with people, our careers, ourselves, how many of you have lied to yourself? Oh, just me? I'm the only one who lies to myself. Mark, you're so great. How many have you, like, you've lied to yourself, and how many tell the truth to yourself? Yeah, nobody. All right. So the thing is, when we have realistic expectations of ourselves, then we will then have realistic expectations of others. And so in this time that we've been in, there's been a lot of unrealistic expectations where we think that something else is going on when there really isn't, right? There's not something else going on. Now, could there be signs pointing to things that are going wrong? Are there sometimes things going wrong? Yes. Are there sometimes people purposely doing things that lead in a direction? Yes. But we have to be calm as Christians and have realistic expectations of what's happening and how we view things, right? All my faith, all my hope, and all my trust is in God. It doesn't matter whether there's a pandemic, whether it's a world war, whether whatever it is, it doesn't matter because God is in control. And that's all that matters to me. If we begin to be persecuted, if something happens down the road where we are going to be persecuted, you will know it. You will know it. Now, again, these things can seep in. We want to be careful. We want to stand up. We want to make sure. But again, I don't know if you've read through this all the way to the end, but it gets kind of ugly at some points, right, in our future. It might not be good. And there's nothing that's going to stop it, because if this is the word of God and he says this was going to happen, then this is what's going to happen, right? So, to give you a positive viewpoint on all of this, God knew, he knows, he's going to take us through and take care of us, whatever that looks like. Now, people say, well, then, you know, you can't just sit down and take whatever they give you, and you got to, you know, whether it's government, whether it's policies, whether it's, no, we should argue respectfully with others about our point of view, about our viewpoint. That there's nothing wrong with that. A political view, personal view, all that kind of stuff. It's how we do it. And when we start to embarrass the gospel, that's when we've stepped over the line. And I get really upset when I see that because I look at Christianity as practical. I don't look at it in any other way, because Jesus is like, love God, love your neighbor. Go out there, get stuff done, love each other. That's practical. That's something we can grab onto and hold. But a lot of times we're like, it's about me. It's me, me, me. And in today's scripture that I'm going to read for you, I want to just touch on a few just little things about what a Christian should be. So let me look at Galatians chapter 2. And let's see if we can make this right. There we go. We who are Jews by birth, so this is chapter 2, verse 15, and we'll go to 21. This is Paul talking. Or Jews of birth, and not sinful Gentiles, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So, if we know that the Jewish people at that time had lists of rules, they had the law of the Old Testament, and they followed it to a T. That was their law, and that's how they believed they would win God's favor. And I've talked about this before, where throughout the Old Testament, man has to figure out a way to express their love to God. Man has to figure out, how can I do this? So we make lists. If I do these things, God will be pleased. And at the beginning, I'm sure everything that they did was very, very smart, very wise, very purposeful, because they wanted to express themselves the only way they could to God. But then it became bigger than that, and everything was a law and everything was a rule, all right? And so this is where he's saying, you know, we know that a person is justified by works, know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So he's saying, now that we've been enlightened, we understand it, it's not by works, but it's by faith in Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because of the works of the law, no one will be justified. Okay, so he's laying it out for us. You can do all you want, but you have to have faith in Christ. It's not about what you're doing specifically as that. That comes out of our faith. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in? Yes, the life I now live in the body, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You see, Paul begins in this part to make a point to the Galatians that every person is justified or made just or acceptable before God by faith and not by works or law. Okay, we tend to think we need to work for things. That's just human nature. We want to work for it. We want to win. We want to do something good, and then that means we're justified by that. But it's not. He's saying you have to have faith in Jesus. So he begins by saying that Paul and Peter, he's saying, are both Jewish by birth, and so they had this seemingly advantage of being born into the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God, blessed by God with the law and the sacrificial system. It offered the right way that they could express themselves as a people to God. He's saying also that they had an advantage of not being born as Gentiles outside of that, of God's chosen people, because they had limited opportunity to be saved or welcomed by God, okay? Because they would have to be seen by, you know, the Israelites. When they left Egypt, it wasn't just all the Israelites. There were some other people that went with them that were not Israelites, and they went with them. And so they were welcomed in. But we always just think of the nation of Israel as just Israel and just Jewish people. And so Paul's explaining that when Jesus came, he changed everything. He made everything different. And more accurately, he brought everything into pinpoint focus. And this gospel truth that Paul had been preaching and that Peter himself agreed with, that nobody can be saved by what they do. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And so Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21, our scripture today, he's got these great statements about the difference between faith in Christ and following the law, and that nobody can be justified in God's eyes by works of the law. They can only be in only by faith in Jesus Christ. And so to believe in Christ is to be crucified with him and to have him replace your sinful, selfish nature within you. And so Paul lives by faith, and because of that faith, Paul's sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven because God loved us. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, how would people recognize a difference within us as Christians, as a believer? What does that look like on the outside? The Christian life is supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be as the world. Okay, we live here, but we're not supposed to be in a judgmental way, though. That's God's job. I don't judge, God judge. It's supposed to be different by how we love God, how we express ourselves to him, and how we love others, and how we express ourselves there. And we have to ask ourselves, are we doing the best, to the best of our ability, are we loving God? And are we loving others to our best ability? Putting others before ourselves and before material possessions, before things, before even relationships, we can get in the way. They can be idols in our lives. They can be a problem. Are you loving differently than our culture? Can they tell a difference at all? Do they even notice it? So what's the difference between living a Christian life or not? And over the past 14, 15, 16 months, whatever it's been, there's been a lot of different Christian views on what's been going on in our world today, especially in our province and our country and everywhere. There's a lot of different views, and that's fine. We all have different views of what it means to be persecuted. We all have different views of what it means to be controlled, and what it means to have your rights taken away. We all have different opinions and views on that. And I've taken some flack, I have to say, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is, and it'll be what it'll be. I'm okay to have a different opinion, and they can have their opinion. But what has really come to the surface is how we've expressed ourselves over these past few months. And I warned everyone that I could come into how you respond during this time. We'll show your true core values, your true colors from inside. It doesn't mean you can't come back from that. It doesn't mean you can't change. It doesn't mean a person can't change. But it has shown where your faith, where your theology, what you believe in God, and just overall belief system, worldview, it all has come to the surface. And you may have friends, family members that have a very strong different opinion of you. And you may have been unfriending people on Facebook like nobody's business because you just don't want to see their posts anymore. You may have. Maybe they've unfriended you because you don't say anything. I don't know. I don't know how the Google thing works. But it's a frustrating time because I also said at the very beginning of this, don't let this ruin relationships. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because you have a different view on vaccines or a pandemic or a virus that whatever, where it came from, how it came here, whatever, it doesn't matter, it's here, right? But it doesn't matter what the view is. We can have different views and still be decent to each other. How we love ourselves, Scripture very clear, will show them, right, the love of Christ. And I haven't seen that. Now, I believe you guys have been great. You guys, incredible, yes, always. But there have been some very boisterous people online spouting things about Christianity that might have been misplaced. I have to say, I do believe that science is a real thing. Okay? Science is there for our benefit. It doesn't mean that they can't make mistakes. It doesn't mean they mess around and they shouldn't. I get it all. But I do believe that science is important. But we all have different views, and how we respond will really show our core views and what we think. And I'm sure you think some of your friends have been, or family members have been, conspiracy-driven. I'm not a conspiracy-driven person, but I notice inconsistencies. And so no matter how we respond to this pandemic, no matter what your view is, first of all, you are welcome here. Doesn't matter what your view is. Just don't push it on someone else. I won't push it on you. You don't push it on me. I'll give you my opinion, and then there you go. But no matter how we've responded to this, we can still grow. We can still grow from this experience, and we can move forward. And that's the most important thing. If we can gain just a little bit of life experience, just a little tiny bit of experience, and take it and learn, man, it would be amazing. It would be amazing. And we could look back in 5 years and go, yeah, I learned some good stuff during that time. It was difficult, didn't like it, but I learned some valuable life lessons. But let's look just for a minute at the Christian life, and just in case we may have forgotten over the past little while, let's just kind of give a few points of what maybe the Christian life should look like. Well, the Christian life is supposed to be one that lives by faith. Scriptures, I just read it. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. But it's by faith that we enter into the Christian life, and it's by faith that we live it out. We do it. That's the action part. That's the, you don't just sit there, become a Christian, sit on it, and walk, and that's it. No, you act it out. And when we begin the Christian life by coming to Christ for forgiveness of sins, we understand that what we seek cannot be attained by any other means or believing in anything else. We cannot work our way to heaven because nothing we could do would ever be sufficient. And those who believe they can attain eternal life by keeping rules and regulations, like a list of do's and don'ts and things that they should or shouldn't do, those that think that, they deny Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear. The just shall live by faith. So it's very clear. And the Pharisees of that day rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected him because he told them the truth. He told them that all their righteous deeds were worthless and that only faith in the Messiah would save them. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says a lot in the Gospels of how Jesus Christ has the power to save us, that all who believe in him, believe in the good news, will experience eternal life. And when we enter into this Christian life by faith in this good news, we see our faith grow as we come to know more and more about the God who saved us. That's why we need to be in his word. That's how we find out about what he's like. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the gospel is righteousness from God, it's revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And so part of the Christian life is diligence in reading the word, in daily interaction with God, in daily study. On top of that, with prayer. Prayer for understanding, for wisdom, so that we become closer, more intimate with God through the Holy Spirit. And so the Christian life is a life that is lived out in faith in Jesus Christ. The Christian life, secondly, is also supposed to be one where it is death to self. And this is where we struggle. We like to be first, right? We want to always be first. This is why I was throughout this difficult time, and this is why I still am strong on the stance that we need to be examples of grace, of peace, and of love. And self-control. Self-control. I don't know if you've been online, or maybe it's something you saw or heard or whatever, and you wanted to type something out, and then you deleted it. That's self-control. Instead of hitting send, right? You do that a couple times. No, I won't say that. Self-control. The only rights, and I sometimes get in trouble for this, but the only rights we truly have, and here it is, are the rights that we gave up to follow Jesus. You don't have any rights. Sorry, you don't. And I do get in trouble for that because everybody wants rights. You don't. You gave them up. It's over. We're to be an extension of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why during this time we needed to manage the fear. We needed to manage all of that. Paul told the Galatians, "I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Being crucified on the cross means that we consider our old nature, our self, our selfish desires as being nailed to the cross, and we choose to live a life which is with Christ. He who loved us, he died for us, now lives in us. And the life we live is by faith in him. So living the Christian life means sacrificing our own desires, our own ambitions, our own glories, and replacing those with Jesus. And we can only do this by his power, with the Holy Spirit, through faith, as he gives it. And so part of the Christian life is praying that out to the end. The Christian life is also supposed to endure to the end. Does this mean we don't struggle? I'm going to ask, we're going to be doing a baptism, so I'm going to ask if somebody would help her to the back, and then the band is going to come up in just a few minutes as when I start praying. But the Christian life is also supposed to endure. It's supposed to be a long journey. Does it mean we struggle? No, we do struggle. Hebrews 30, chapter 10, verse 38 now, he's quoting from an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk, and says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure for them." And God is not pleased with anyone who draws back, but that doesn't mean God isn't calling and wanting those who have strayed, he wants them back. So the Christian life is one that is to be lived by faith. It is death to self, and it is long-suffering. It endures. And we have come through a time that many have struggled with. I don't know if you know this, but mental health is at an all-time problem right now because of what's happened. You'll read, if you read leadership material online or any of these gurus and pastors that think they know everything about everything, and they'll tell you how your church stinks and how you can make it better just so that you'll buy their book. They all have been saying lately, we don't know if people are going to come back. We don't think they will. We don't think they'll come back in person. And I'm like, you're a moron. Because, and I mean that with all due respect, because they will. They need connection. We need, humans need connection. Online is fine. It's great. It works. And it's good for people to be on there and to have a community there. But they need connection as well. They need connection. And maybe it's because I'm turning 49 soon and I'm feeling a little grandpa-y or something. But I'm not like my grandfathers who said, these things are bad and horrible because they're new, okay? It's not that. It's not that the internet is of the devil, okay? It's none of that. It's that we still need connection, and you can't get it through a screen. How many Zoom calls or Google Meets have you been on? Yeah. You can't smack somebody inside the head through that. There's no emoji for that. And you can't embrace them and love them as well. You got to have both. We need connection. It has to happen. And so to all those out there that have said in leadership, because they know so much about everything, that the church will die, you're wrong. It will not. It has not, and it will not. And we still need to come together. Why do you think in Scripture, and I lost it for a minute, he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some have done. You think this is new, leadership gurus? It's not. It's not new. People have struggled their whole life with organized religion and church. We need to make it better. Welcome them in. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of tough stuff. I said 5-6 years ago, you're going to be experiencing things you never thought you were. And guess what? I didn't expect a pandemic. That's not what I was talking about. So I'm not going to say you have to call me prophet now. But we'll see. I'm joking. Just that's a horrible theology. Please don't. People need connection. And you need connection. And nothing can replace that. Nothing can replace it. So I'm excited about moving forward. What's going to be happening now? We're going to be, life groups will be starting up in September. VBS is happening, Vacation Bible Kids Week. That's happening. Things are happening. We're back in business. We're back in business. Now, if something happens where we got to shut down again, we will follow the rules like we did the last time. We will follow whatever needs to be done. But we've been told by the public health office that this won't turn into another pandemic. Now, when they say that, realize they're only speaking of coronavirus. If something else happens, like, yeah, but we weren't talking about that pandemic. We were talking about another pandemic. Like, we didn't say another one wouldn't happen. So just be aware. We got to be smart still. We got to be safe, wise, whatever. Whatever that looks like. But we will always make sure that there's a connection of some type. And how we can do that right now is by building relationships, keeping in contact. If there's somebody you haven't seen in a while, call them, find out what's going on with them. Are they okay? Do they need anything? That's what we should be doing on a regular basis all the time. Don't wait for me to do it or somebody else to do it. You are an extension of Jesus Christ. You are all ministers. You can do this. Reach out. And you know, many of you have. You have. You've been doing it throughout the whole pandemic. Lunch program, food banks, you name it. We've been doing it. Lots of stuff happening. Right, serving the church, all those that help keep things online, oh, everybody, lots. But we need to continue to have connection, and we live out our faith in Jesus Christ by serving. That's part of it. That's just what happens. You don't go, okay, well, I accepted Jesus, now I have to serve. I guess I have to. You want to. There's a reason for it because of Jesus. You want to. We've been still involved with the Cloverdale Kitchen. Things have been still happening there. I'm sure that's going to ramp up again eventually here soon. But there's lots happening. So now that people can come back and start really getting involved because it was always limited, more is going to happen. And we need to make sure we're there to do it. I want to leave you with this scripture, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. And I say it a lot, and there's a reason why I say it a lot. And I'm going to close with just this. Matthew 22, 35, 40 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." That's the Shema, the Hebrew Shema. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and all the prophets." So in other words, everything that the law said, everything that the prophets said, all revolves around loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Everything encompasses that. That's it. That's it. And you'll hear in the latest books, it's the golden rule. No. It's not the golden rule. It's the great commandment. That's what it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can go to your word. Thank you that you love us. But help us to be people of faith. Help us to let go of ourselves. With the power of the Holy Spirit, give us strength. And help us to endure and make it through to the end. No matter what comes our way, let us be ready. Let us be ready to serve you and to serve others as we would ourselves. Father, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Everyone set. Okay, we're going to a baptism. They're going to play a song for you here in 2 seconds, and then we're going to get right to it.
Are we, you guys, stand as we worship?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy.
Caleb, you may be seated. It's all over the world now. Everyone's seen it. All right, this here, I'm going to get you to stand here. Melissa, this is Melissa, and she is going to tell you her testimony this morning.
Where I was when I realized I needed to change something, and tell all of you now that Jesus changed me, proved himself to me in marvelous ways, and I want to live for him now and proclaim it publicly. When I was 2 years old, my half-sister and I got taken away from my mom because she wasn't taking care of us and was highly addicted to substances. I started living with my dad full-time. When I was a preteen and a teenager, my dad and I didn't have a great relationship, and I thought he didn't care and was always angry with me. Turns out, he only seemed angry because he cared so much about keeping me safe on a healthy and successful path. At the time, I didn't see it this way. I started trying to impress people at my school so I could fit in with the cool crowd. Little did I know I wasn't supposed to fit in, I wasn't like them. I started pursuing boys and smoking. I thought I was even bisexual at a point in my life because of the experiences I had with girls and not having a relationship with my mom like I wanted to. I could find it with these girls, and I thought these things could satisfy me and fill the emptiness I was feeling. At 16, I left home and moved in with a boyfriend. I started smoking marijuana with him. I fled from home because I thought I knew better. Doesn't every teenager? But my dad was just protecting me until I knew better, how to make healthy decisions and thinking about the outcome of my actions, just like every good dad. I started living with my auntie and then staying with my boyfriend some days. Soon he got a place of his own and I started going over more often. We got into many altercations. I realized love wasn't what I thought it was. He was abusive in several ways. I started living with him and then I moved out with my mom. And then I would stay with him when things would cool down. He ended up moving in with his mom, and I lived with my mom. Many altercations happened wherever I would move. Jesus never stopped running after me and trying to reach for me, but I kept denying his name every time because I wanted to live life my way instead of his. Until things got so bad, I didn't want to live the way I was living anymore. I didn't like the people I had around me, and knowing if I continued down this destructive path I was going down, I would end up just like them. I didn't like seeing the choices I was making and the choices people around me were making and how it was affecting the children around us. I remembered my dad, who was always there for me to go to and the only person I had a pure good time with, so I reached out to him. He helped me and put me back together and introduced me to my ultimate Savior that would put me back together and make me who he wanted me to be and would show me the truth and the answers I was desperately searching for in all the wrong places. I believe Jesus led me back to my dad because he knew he could work best through my dad. My dad was the only one who had the material that God would prove him his existence to me through. Jesus did exactly that and has never failed. Everything I put myself through and situations I stayed in, even though they weren't healthy for me, led me to be where I am today, and I'm thankful for everything that happened to me because it made me who I am and led me to be who and where I am today. God has a plan for me and everyone. Even if in the midst of something it feels like sadness or betrayal, it's part of God's plan for your life. Even if you don't understand why it happened or is happening, Jesus led me through everything, and because I know he did and I wasn't in control, I know I can trust him with everything. Jesus uses every experience from your life, whether it may be good or bad, to help other people come to know his love, his truth. I'm ready to pick up a new life and have a new mind, be an example of Jesus, his truth, his love, and completely turn from my old ways of living life my way and live for Jesus. I'm ready to fully submit my mind, my mouth, and my life to his will.
Wow, that was awesome.
Are you available next Sunday to speak?
That was amazing. Well, Melissa, you've gone through a lot. You've done a lot. You love Jesus. Clearly, we can see that. So let's, ready to do this?
Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning, and we can't wait to see you next week.